When we think about celiac disease, often people think about all the GI stuff. So vomiting, diarrhea, upset stomach, constipation, bloating. Yes, these things do happen, but they're not all the symptoms. There are so many symptoms, between 200 to 300 known symptoms. So often, it actually pays to look outside the gut. And that's what Celiac Australia's campaign is focusing on this year for Celiac Awareness Week. Think outside the gut and ask yourself, could it be celiac disease? I'll sit down with their health advocacy officer to discuss this more. That's on today's episode of A Gluten-Free Podcast. Hey, welcome to A Gluten-Free Podcast, the show where we'll be exploring all things gluten-free. I'm your host, Ben. Whether you have celiac disease like me, you're gluten-free for other reasons, or you just want to learn more about the gluten-free diet, then this podcast is for you. Let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to A Gluten-Free Podcast. This is a weekly show where I talk to people all over the world about some really helpful and inspiring things that they're doing in the gluten-free community, while also sharing my own story of living with celiac disease and being a gluten-free dad here in Australia. And speaking of which, I am currently recording many intros today and doing a lot of work on this podcast in the lead up to Celiac Awareness Week, one busy gluten-free dad. But I'm currently looking out on the beautiful lands where I get to record every single podcast for this show, and it's awesome. I'm looking out onto just our green lawn at the moment. It's had so much rain and humidity that it's looking beautiful and lush, and the trees are swaying outside, and we're just about to get a bit of rain by the looks. It's a bit overcast now, but it was a beautiful sunny morning. But I am just so privileged to be able to record this podcast on this land and also just to live with my family on this beautiful land that we actually get to call home. But this was and always will be Gundungurra country. And the Gundungurra people are the true custodians of this land. I would like to pay my respect to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge the stories, traditions, and living cultures of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Also, I am not a health professional myself. I will be speaking to Health Advocacy Officer at Celiac Australia today, who has an immense amount of knowledge around celiac disease, the gluten-free diet, and she is a dietitian herself. So she has an immense amount of knowledge around health and diet. But please, anytime you hear anything on this podcast related to health or diet, please always remember to seek out your own personal medical advice before it comes to making any changes to your own health or your diet, because what works for me and my guests on this show may not work for you at all. So please always remember to do that. Okay, let's get into today's episode. My guest on today's episode is dietitian and health advocacy officer for Celiac Australia, Penny Delsperger. We'll talk about Celiac Australia's campaign for Celiac Awareness Week 2024. Think outside the gut and ask yourself, could it be celiac disease? Penny, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast again. I think the last time we spoke was when we had Jason tied in on covering the oats update.
It would have been. Yeah, no, nice to be back. That's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And Celiac Awareness Week is just around the corner on Wednesday, March 13th to the 20th this year.
Right.
And Celiac Australia are focusing on the theme, think outside the gut and ask yourself, could it be celiac disease? And I know that there's so many non-gut related issues when it comes to celiac disease, which we've talked with many people on this show about. And on the Celiac Australia website, you've highlighted a few of those as well on the campaign page. And a few of those are abnormal blood test results, osteoporosis, unexplained fatigue, fertility issues, unexplained weight loss, unexpected weight loss, or faltering growth in children, and associated conditional family history. Given there's between something like 200 to 300 known symptoms of celiac disease, it's understandable, that we're looking outside the square here, and given that it's a bit of a chameleon of diseases that it flies under the radar, and especially because it isn't on routine blood, so it's so hard to pick up by medical professionals. So can you talk to me a little bit about why the campaign was this particular campaign was chosen and what you're hoping to achieve with it this year.
Yeah, well, I think what you've just said just then, Ben, is really key that, you know, we always think about that typical picture of someone with celiac disease as having those gut issues like your diarrhea, constipation, abdo pain, all of those sorts of typical celiac symptoms with the person who's, you know, really underweight and wasted and malnourished and so on. And often then those that don't fit that typical picture are not considered for celiac disease and they go undiagnosed. And that's really key. And I think we did a bit of a poll of our members recently. We had sort of, I think it was almost 2,000 people responded wanting to share what it was that prompted their diagnosis. And 2/3 of them, it wasn't gut symptoms. It was something else, like from that list you were talking about, be it fertility issues, be it low iron, be it headaches. As you say, there's a huge number of symptoms that can be attributed to celiac disease. And we just really wanted to highlight that just because you don't have gut symptoms, please don't exclude celiac disease. Make sure if there's anything that could be celiac disease, please go and see your doctor about it.
Yeah, very good campaign to focus on because, as you said, yeah, there's just so many symptoms outside the gut that, you know, people eventually get tested for and then they realize it's celiac disease. But to keep that broad as well, because I actually put up a question box just last night just to see if a few people, you know, could share their non-gut related symptoms with us.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's quite a lot, but just in general, there was so many who said, you know, migraines, overall mood, pre and post diagnosis, brain fog, blackouts, anxiety, depression, fertility issues, anemia, dermatitis, herpetiformis, low iron, mouth ulcers.
List.
Yeah, just so a lot of that, and vertigo was one that was I actually remember, like, there's just so many symptoms pre-celiac diagnosis, but I had balance issues and sort of a bit of vertigo, like I'd bend over and just sort of, you know, be really out of it and and I guess people just generally think if they hear about celiac disease, they're like, oh, a bit of a tummy ache when you sort of eat gluten. Which can sometimes happen. People can have those lower symptoms, but there's so many outside.
You've got, we talk about gut symptoms and they can be fairly mild and they can be really severe. So not only do you have this broad range of symptoms, and we talk about that clinical chameleon of celiac disease where you've got lots of sometimes really subtle symptoms that can be very much like those you experience with other conditions. But yet the symptoms not only can be from a very broad range, but they can be fairly mild, or appear to be fairly mild, through to really severe and really inhibiting. So it's such a heterogeneous presentation that can really impact the ability for it to be picked up and diagnosed, which I think explains why we have so many left to be diagnosed. You know, that 8% we talk about that have it but don't know it. They may well have some of these really obscure symptoms that are not traditionally associated with celiac disease. So it's really important that they consider that. And not only, I guess, the messaging is partly for GPs, and we're trying to put some information out there to help GPs be aware of, you know, this range of symptoms that can be caused by celiac disease. But also for us, we do have, you know, our self-assessment tool is on our website, which allows people to go and, you know, tick all those boxes and see if you are at risk, and that you can be proactive in that and take that to your doctor as well.
Did you personally have any non-gut related symptoms pre or post diagnosis?
Well, I don't always talk about my story, but before I was diagnosed, my main symptom was anemia. So just that low iron, tired, bit of brain fog, that sort of thing. And it was probably only that my mum also has celiac disease. She was diagnosed when I was about 5. So she was the one that prompted the screening for celiac disease at that time, because at the time I was diagnosed, I was a young woman, heavy periods, on a vegetarian diet at the time. So the doctor's like, oh, that explains your low iron. And they weren't going to investigate it any further. But mum's like, oh, could you check for celiac disease as well? Because we do have this family history. And lo and behold, that's what it was. So yeah, I didn't have any obvious gut-related symptoms prior to diagnosis at all. Interestingly, since being diagnosed, having been gluten-free for quite a number of years, there's been, I can recall, two distinct occasions where I was glutened, an incorrect pizza base and a incorrect piece of banana bread, which were too good to be true. And I do now get vomiting, if I have, a glutening episode. So I now get some gut symptoms, but prior to diagnosis, there was nothing like that at all. So it's that's a very good example of what can happen. And if it wasn't for my mum being proactive in that space, I may not have been diagnosed.
And as you said, I think it happens far too often, unfortunately, that it is just by chance that that diagnosis happens, or that a friend or family member sort of prompts it to the GP. What do you think can be sort of done there in terms of, because I don't want to throw GPs under the bus. They do an amazing job.
They
Often
do,
I try to, I try to say that as often as possible in this podcast, which they do. They, often putting themselves at risk at, just to for the benefit of people in society, but it's just so hard to pick this up because it as we said, it's a chameleon.
Yeah, it's almost an impossible job. If you think about the amount they have to know about how many things, and you throw celiac disease in there, which like, oh yeah, any of those could be celiac disease. Like it does make their job very difficult. And there are some GPs that do an amazing job. They're keeping celiac disease top of mind all the time, and they're very good at recognizing it and testing for it and diagnosing it. But yeah, I think. Yeah, credit where credit's due. I couldn't do their job, that's for sure. And so we are trying to develop some better resources to help GPs. I guess part of this campaign being part of that, just trying to highlight what the breadth of symptoms that you can be looking for, just to help in that regard as well.
We'll be right back after this short break. Question, gluten-free fam. Do you wish there were regular opportunities to meet up with others in the gluten-free community at venues and with businesses who actually look after us gluten-free folk? Me too. And that's why I've started a gluten-free evening. A gluten-free evening is all about connecting with others who are gluten-free, learning from the owners of venues and businesses who are making safe gluten-free food for us, and you'll also walk away with a gluten-free goodie bag full of products, samples, and discounts from your favorite gluten-free brands. We sold out our launch in February, and we've already had so many requests for more. Make sure you're following our Instagram, which is in the show notes, to find out where the next one is. See you there, gluten-free fam. We now have a Facebook group for the show. Search A Gluten-Free Podcast in groups and it'll pop right up. Come and join the conversation with other listeners where we're sharing ideas about current and future episodes and just have a chat about general gluten-free life. See you on there. All right, back to the podcast. And one thing that we talked about just before, mental health too, I think it's a super, super important aspect of non-gut related symptoms of celiac disease. And I speak to so many guests on this podcast who experience neurological issues, like whether it's, like a lot of people talked about on Instagram there, whether it's brain fog or anxiety, depression, mood disorders, like massive mood swings, and in certain cases, psychotic conditions. And Dr. Alessio Fasano actually shared with me how it's presenting so much differently now in kids. Like explaining that, fatigue and anemia and irritability, delayed puberty, dermatitis, herpetiformis, they seem to be more of the, the common presentations now versus the, the normal
gut presentation.
And the bloated belly and diarrhea and, constipation, which he said they still do present with that, but
it's not the common presentation anymore.
Yeah, and it seems to be more of the neurological issues associated. So clearly, it's a it's a massive issue. How do you think we can sort of begin to get that message out there, in particular the like the mental health side of stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a really important but tricky message to get out there, just to encourage testing. I mean, I think it's really good that nowadays we are more aware of our mental health, and we're being encouraged to talk about it more. Yes. I think that's really important. And so I guess we can hopefully attach this to those conversations that, okay, that's, you know, you're talking about this, which is great. You've recognised that, you know, you need some help in this area, but can we tap on the celiac disease testing as well, just to make sure that that's at least excluded in those cases, so that we therefore know it's not a contributing factor, because that could make all the difference in the world to someone if they found that it really was celiac disease that's a contributor to it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think I just from speaking to a lot of people, especially, you know, parents with kids, like just the ordeals that they've been through, and then finally getting a celiac diagnosis, and then things going like so much better once they're on the gluten-free diet, a lot of those things improving, but it just feeling like they just shouldn't have to go through that. And I just feel so sorry for, you know, everybody involved, that whole domino system of like, even the health professionals, you know, scratching their heads, sending them off for, you know, thousands of dollars worth of appointments, and then it coming back and saying, oh, we should have run this test.
Could have saved a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money, potentially, if it was considered earlier.
Yeah. And emotional trauma, I guess too, like just, yeah. Clearly there's like a lot of a lack of awareness out there, like and people's quality of life is sort of on the line too, not only for adults, but for children developing too. So for those listening, like, you know, we've talked about some issues that are happening, but like, what can we do to like sort of help spread the word generally, you know, especially during Celiac Awareness Week, in terms of, you know, in the real world, like feet on the ground, on social media, talking to friends and family, and talking to our doctors too.
So we do have our Celiac Awareness Week page on our website, and there are some assets on there that you can use on your own social channels, or you can share our posts as well. That would be awesome. We have put together a template letter that you can send to your local Member of Parliament as well. So just highlighting the issues and trying to get it in front of the people making those big decisions around our health and care. So that's a really key way as well that you can help. And I think also if you have celiac disease already diagnosed in your family, but you see friends or other family members, colleagues who are potentially struggling with, you know, any of the long list of gut or otherwise things that can be associated with celiac disease, just encourage them to go and do the self-assessment quiz on our website. I think that's a really good starting point, and it then gives you information that you can take to your doctor and say, look, you know, it's been recommended I be screened for this. Can you organise that, you know, fairly simple blood test for me? So encouraging people to be proactive around their health and follow up with that, I think, would be really good.
Excellent. Can I just ask, that template to the Parliament, what's actually in that, or is it sort of, subjective? Like, does someone go in and sort of personalize it themselves?
Yeah, you can put in your own, there's space to put in, you know, details of your own diagnosis journey, of your own story.
Fantastic.
Then it's just highlighting those key messages around thinking outside the gut and the burden of celiac disease, how we know 1 in 70 are diagnosed, but approximately, you know, only 20% are actually diagnosed. So, yeah, just trying to drive that home and to the people in the positions that can hopefully help us make a difference.
Awesome. Can I just ask you one more question as well? I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this or asked you, what's your position on having celiac on routine bloods?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. At first, when you first think about it, you know, oh, yep, that makes total sense. to just have it on there. But I think we do need a bit more evidence around whether it is effective or not. Is there going to be a cost benefit to it? And one thing, it's actually one thing I was talking to Jason about, is we need evidence to show that, like, if we pick up a child as having celiac disease on that blood work, if they don't have any symptoms, we want to make sure that there's a reason for them to be diagnosed. And I think he says, yes, we're getting more evidence for that. Like, to me, I'm like, well, but like, we need to make sure that there is definite benefit to being diagnosed. If someone is otherwise well and doesn't have any ongoing, any health issues, is that going to prevent them from getting, developing things later on, all that sort of thing, which we think that there is, but we need evidence around that. Certainly in Italy, they're rolling out screening of all children aged 1 to 17 at the moment. So I think that will be,
yes,
that'll be a really good program to learn from. And I suspect that won't be the last country to do that. But I think that, yeah, so ultimately pie in the sky, yeah, if we could have routine screening across the board, that would solve a lot of our problems. I think we just need to make sure that the benefit is there for everybody involved, and that the, and I think from a government perspective, they look at the cost of it. Is the cost
for sure
of that screening going to be of benefit? And that's a really hard one, I think, to ask us to do, but because it's hard to cost that benefit. But
yes,
it's, you know, we need more money to be able to cost that benefit. So
it's a roadblock, isn't it? It's an ironic roadblock, because we need to prove the prevalence, but we can't prove the prevalence without having it on routine blood tests, I guess.
And even proving the cost of undiagnosed celiac disease.
Yes.
So actually accurately saying, being able to say, okay, if this person is undiagnosed, this is going to be the cost to the health system and to the economy and to that person if they remain undiagnosed. If we diagnose them here, this is the amount of money that we're going to save. So if we could do that, then I think we could build a case for sure. But that information is really hard to quantify, just because of the way celiac disease is.
Yes. So,
yeah, makes it really hard.
No, it's interesting, but I'm so glad that, you know, so much is being done to try and help spread that awareness. And hopefully one day, as you said, like, I think Italy are paving the way there, and like having celiac and diabetes on those blood tests for people aged 1 to 17, like across the board there in the country, it'll show some really interesting stuff, and we'll see what happens from that. But
Well, I do remember another key point out of that is, just because someone is screened in that time and tests negative, we shouldn't therefore assume that they may not get it later.
No. And yeah, to have the gene test done alongside it would be a really smart move, like even within Australia.
Potentially,
to have like one or two of the genes, and then like, you know, to check that in the future if you do have it. If you don't, something you can just sort of take off the board and like just not worry about it.
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another cost to convince the government of.
Yeah, but I think like super, like I don't see it progressing any other way, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it's interesting. You look at Medicare stats of celiac testing over the past, you know, 10 years, and it's increasing every year. It's increased. But we're not really seeing an increase in diagnosis as such. So, are we testing the wrong people? Some of those tests could be follow-up testing, for example, people doing their routine follow-up year on year. That could account for quite a number of those antibody tests. But, we're seeing increased testing. So why are we not seeing an increase in diagnosis to match that? So there's obviously people out there that need to be screened but are not. So,
yeah.
Yeah, need to get to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see where it develops. But so in terms of like, Celiac Awareness Week, I think you shared a lot there about like what people can do and what's happening there during the week. How can listeners learn more about Celiac Awareness Week and contact Celiac Australia if they have any more questions or just or want to use some of your resources to really help spread that word?
Yeah, please do. So if you go to our website, celiac.org.au, and you'll be able to link through to our celiac awareness information on there. If you do have any questions, you are always welcome to call our wonderful member support team. It's 1300 458 836. But yeah, you should find a lot of information to help on our website, including that the self-assessment quiz as well.
Awesome. Penny, thank you so much for joining me here. I know it's been a little while since we've chatted. But good luck with Celiac Awareness Week. I really hope that we can just like spread, clearly as we need to spread so much more awareness. It's an ongoing battle that I know Celiac Australia face and like everybody with celiac disease or who is undiagnosed and yet to find out about this journey face. So yeah, everything we can do to help spread that word, it's for the better. So I really hope one day we don't have to, to spread all this awareness.
That'd be great. We'll do ourselves out of a job.
And yes.
That's the aim.
But in the meantime, thank you for all the work you're continually doing and we'll chat again soon.
No, appreciate it. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks so much for taking the time to join me here on a gluten-free podcast. If you're enjoying it and think someone else would too, please share it with them. Also, I'd really appreciate you giving a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening on. You can find me on Instagram at a.gffamily or send an email to aglutenfreefamily@gmail.com. I'll add all this info in the show notes. Until next time, bye for now.